We first met Bill Cruz 13 years ago in Chicago when he was a young man just getting into stand-up comedy. At the time, he seemed to be the only out gay comedian in town. We were thrilled to have him perform at our live show held at a Vietnamese banquet hall.
Bill's act didn't go over well that night. Thankfully, today Bill is considered a powerhouse in Chicago's comedy scene. His annual showcase, Bill Cruz's Top 10 Comics I Want to Fuck, presents the sexiest comic in Chicago tournament and pageant, featuring 38 straight-identifying male comics, is a huge success.
Sadly, Bill is moving to L.A. Lucky for you, he's in the studio one more time before the big move.
Join us for this and all the hot news. Plus, the viral success of the potato salad Kickstarter campaign inspires hundreds of equally annoying copycat projects, including ones for pizza, guacamole, and pancakes.
A new study reveals that World Cup soccer teams that banned sex before the game don't do any better than teams that allow their players to get their freak on.
Tropical Storm Fausto currently poses no threat to anyone.
And the dream job for the TV addict in you, Netflix wants to hire professional binge TV watchers. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Not shaving gives me more time for misbehaving. Get this sexy t-shirt and all our fabulous designs at feastoffun.com/store.
Make this one count. Bill Cruz is on today's Feast of Fun podcast, and we have some sad news. Bill Cruz is moving to Los Angeles, spreading his wings to pursue a comedy career, which means he's going to be living in an underpass with James Fritz very soon.
I already booked a gig. I'm selling oranges off the 101.
Well, you could also clean windshields, too. I think that's a very popular thing.
Well, I should buy a spray bottle here in Chicago.
Yeah, take it with you. Right, it'll be much cheaper, right?
Bill Cruz, I haven't seen you in so long, I forgot what you looked like.
I'm just the same, just bigger.
We haven't seen you since before the Super Bowl when your favorite team, the Denver Broncos, lost.
That's right. Is that right?
You were so depressed.
Oh, God, so depressed. And I think maybe the polar vortex, did that sap the energy out of you?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it your detest of podcasts now?
You posted on Facebook that you hate podcasts and you hate podcasts about podcasts.
Yeah, I said this is the opposite of the end when the people start podcasts about other podcasts. I'm like, now it's over.
So what, like, because we've all seen, like, Armchair Survivor, right. Armchair Big Brother, and so now there's, like, an Armchair podcast?
Yeah, or, it's like you know, now, like, every TV show on mm-hmm. Bravo or A&E, they have the after
Dead,
show.
Yeah.
Right, now there's podcasts just talking about other podcasts.
There used to be a blog that actually blogged almost exclusively about us.
Podcast Soup?
Yeah.
Yeah, so now it's like a podcast soup. There's a podcast about what the other.
And you know, the thing about it is when you're doing the show and then you read somebody blogging about it, you're like, oh, this is so flattering.
Right?
So nice. But everybody else is like, what the fuck is this shit about? I thought when you posted that on Facebook that you were angry at us for something.
Oh, well, you run a podcast, so everything's about you that I post on Facebook.
Well, I thought I was worried. I like you, and I was worried that we would never hear or see from you again.
Oh, no. I still like doing podcasts. I just won't listen to it.
You don't have to listen to this one.
Okay.
No. Well, you're technically listening to it because you have headphones on and you're sitting through it.
But you're going to move
on
to LA.
Hold on a second. As I'm talking to you right now, are you bored?
Oh, my God. I'm so bored.
You're like, I wish I was doing anything but this.
You can't see it, but I'm playing 2048 on my phone.
You're playing Family Feud on your iPhone.
Well, it seems to be in the comedy world that there's the big complaint out there. It's like, oh, my God, every comedian now has a podcast.
Right.
I'm like, come on my podcast. Come on, be on my podcast. So is that where that's coming from? Where is this resentment coming from?
I think it's that, too, because there's this whole new comedy nerd movement happening where every young comic that I see starting, they're so big into comedy itself. So they listen to every podcast and they listen to every DVD and every special. And it just drives me bonkers. I can't keep up. And I'm like, I don't have time for this. I'm living my life.
Well, back in the day, I'm sure you collected comedy albums and comedy tapes.
No, well, that's the, I think that it's the root problem is I hate stand-up comedy.
Which you also do.
Right. Because I never wanted to do it. And then I just kind of fell into it.
What do you mean you never? When we first met you, was over, how many years ago was that? That was almost
20 years ago. 14, was it?
Like 14 years
no,
ago.
1998.
No, no, no.
I didn't move here till 99.
It was 99. So it was like 2000. We did that show at the Vietnamese restaurant. And you came in. You were 22 years old. You
22? I was never 22.
You were like 22, I think.
You had a Mexican suit chicken. On
and a tie. And you went up and I didn't actually get to see your act because I was working the door.
Pretty bad.
You were pollo al carbón.
But I did theater here for like 3 years. That's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
And then I dropped it for a little while because I was burnt out. And
there was no productions of West Side Story.
There was, I couldn't get into
it. You couldn't be the King and the King and I.
Right. Or... Couldn't do that. No one
so,
was.
So, I mean, are you anxious or concerned that you're spending all this time and money moving to a very expensive city, Los Angeles? To pursue several things that you detest.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I kind of got trapped. I didn't think far enough ahead to be like, stop doing stand-up. Go back to theater. And of course, L.A.
You could audition for stuff. It's like people say that all the time they get cast in weird little projects that pay really well.
Well, that's the number one goal is to do whatever I have to do to continue to do stand-up out there.
Right. You know what you'd be really good at?
Why?
Don't leave all of our
you would tell me.
Podcast no. listeners hanging.
Let's figure it out.
I think you would be a really great contestant on a game show.
Oh, yeah.
See, I would love that.
Yes.
You need
big
to win.
Bucks, no whammies.
Price is Right.
Price is Right would be amazing.
How fast would you run down that stairwell?
Oh, yeah. There? I would almost so much that I would put myself in harm's way. Because if that ever happened, then I'm obviously getting on TV.
Because you have personality.
What's this
you're
Mexican
unique?
Bited on the wheel?
What game show would you want to do? Is Price is Right?
Oh, Price is Right would be
what would
great
you play
one.
On The Price is Right?
The clock game. I love the clock game.
Plinko.
No, Plinko's a trap. Get away from Plinko. Although you get more screen time with Plinko than
what's
most
the
games.
Easiest Price
what's
is Right?
I don't know what the clock game
clock
is.
Clock game, you have two prizes. You have 30 seconds to get the price of both prizes to win. So like the first one's usually like a couch.
Okay.
And it's usually around $8.99. So you start like the first bid, I would be like $8.99. And then the Drew will tell you higher or lower as the clock's ticking.
Okay. So you're
like,
you mean Bob Barker?
No,
Drew Carey.
I can't accept that he's
so it's been lower. Like 5 years.
So you have to get the exact price.
Yes. And so he'll tell you higher or lower. So like say you start 500 higher, 600 higher, 700 higher, 800 lower. So you're like, oh,
750. 775.
Exactly.
Okay. And then the second prize is what? A new car.
Oh, no. It's usually like a grill or something. Oh. Or a hot tub.
So you need a hot tub, a grill, and a couch.
The mountain climber game.
So, oh, I love the mountain climber game, too. That.
What game show would you not want to be a part of?
Pyramid. That show drives me nuts. I can't take it. Yeah, because when you get in the actual pyramid, there's so many things you can't do.
Like what?
Like you can't use synonyms. You can't, like, if it's just single words that they want, you can't say multiple words. There's so many rules. It would drive me nuts.
Oh, it would drive you nuts. We've been playing, Faust has been addicted to Family Feud on the iPhone, the app.
Oh, I should do that.
He's playing it all the time these days.
I would like that. Or Big Brother.
Gonna,
I would love to be on Big Brother.
We're going to play Pyramid with you, Bill.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to come up with the category here, and then you're going to take it to Mark.
And I have to guess what it is?
Yes. Okay.
Things you stick in your anus.
Wait.
Things you stick in your mouth.
Wait.
That's anything. You just like,
I'll put it in there.
Okay.
Burrito.
Right. Can you read that? My handwriting?
oh, that's good.
Okay, ready?
Okay. Wait, no, I gotta look at it.
Well, if that's all.
Okay.
Okay, ready, Bill?
Okay. So who's the man? How do you decide? Do you shave your whole body? How did you know? So you'd never have sex with a woman.
How do you know if somebody's
Mark,
gay?
You need to answer these.
What? I don't know. These are terrible cues.
So it's
who's the man? I'm
blank,
the man.
Blank, blank.
Yeah. You should. Does it work if I say no? I can't see that word.
Oh. How do you, people that are
this who's is the man hard?
Shave your body. Seals, dolphins.
No. So do you? How often do you shave your body?
Scruffy. Scruff.
It must be so easier for you to hook up than
things
me.
That people say to me. To Mark Fillion. Things that people say to
that
Fausto.
Would not be a category.
Things that people say to bearded men. Things people say
to
Sasquatch.
You must have sex all the time. It's here, so easy
things,
for you.
Things people say to porn stars.
Go help me pick up women. You'd be a good wingman.
Things people say to ugly
okay,
people.
Okay, I'm going to stop this. I'll be Dick Clark here.
Okay.
What's it like having sex with another guy?
Things people say to gay guys.
Almost.
Oh, almost.
Yeah. Staying straight guys say to gay guys.
Yeah. Oh.
Because I'm always having sex with women. Oh. Maybe that would have been it.
Oh.
Listeners, are we miserable? Do we suck?
You do one for me. I want to do it and see if Bill can get mine.
Okay.
But no, I would love to be on Big Brother, too. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Because that's one of your favorite. I haven't really watched Big Brother since that season with... what's his name? Dan Boogie?
Yeah.
The doctor?
Mark
and
Boogie.
And Harley.
Harley.
I had such a crush on Harley from York,
right.
Pennsylvania. Fausto and I were like, Harley, show us those muscles, Harley. And he was so very sexy. Right.
No, I love Big Brother. I think it's very...
Okay,
it's
Mark,
one of my
ready?
Guilty
and there's
pleasures.
A big gay romance going on, right?
Zach and Frankie.
Okay. Oh, this is easy.
Well, let's see.
Okay. Dildos.
Things that go in your butt.
Well, you guys win absolutely nothing.
Oh.
But Bill,
admiration
you actually,
and respect?
Not even that.
So, Bill, how scared...
Wait, hold on a second. But what? So the reason I'm bringing that up is because you actually did have a contest.
Oh, right.
Bill Cruz, Top 10 Comics I Wanted to Fuck, presents the Sexiest Comic in Chicago Tournament and Pageant. That's its official title.
Wildly successful. I had no idea it was going to get that out of hand.
It was packed.
There was like 100 some people there, right?
No, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a train car in there. Everybody was just squashed in there. No, we started. I do a list. I had been doing a list for the past 4 years.
And this year you changed it up, though, a little bit.
Well, this was the last year I was going to do it since I was going to move.
What was the list about for people who don't know?
The list is a list of the top 10 comics in Chicago straight. That I wanted to fuck.
Okay.
That's it.
So
had to be straight. Couldn't be gay.
Had to be straight.
So if you actually had sex with them, they would be off the list.
Now, right. A couple of those guys have had some bisexual experience.
I would assume so, but not with me.
I knew for a fact that some of the people you put on that list don't qualify as 100% straight.
Wow. Who does?
Well, and then you put Mateo Lane in there, and I was like, well, that's...
Was he an honorable mention?
He's not in Chicago anymore.
Yeah, but so you got basically, it was your way to sexually harass straight guys in the comedy
scene. Being the gay bully that you are.
Well, I had started the list as a joke, because a list came out so many years ago listing the top 15 comics from Chicago you should watch, and the scene went nuts. Why am I not on the list? How come he's on the list? How come I'm not higher on the list? I don't know. And I was like, whoa, we're a community here. You know, I don't understand why all of a sudden we turned into idiots.
People love to turn those lists and who's on it and who's not on it.
So I thought I'll make a list that people should not want to be on and see if they react the same. And of course they did. So the first year it was just like, oh, spoof and goof. I'll just put top 10 comments. And people got mad. Bill.
Why don't you want to fuck me, Bill? Why won't you stick it in me?
I don't believe you don't want to fuck me. What do I got to do for you to want to fuck me?
get sexier.
Right. So then I was like, well, that was fun. And then the second year, people were like, Bill, when's the new list coming out? Who's going to get on the list this year? And I'm like, there's a list this year? I didn't. So I was like, screw it. Yeah, if people want it. So I did it again and made it more elaborate. And then it kept happening. So then this year I had four. So that's 40 people. Well, the one year there was a three-way tie. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool to make a bracket like March Madness? So during March Madness, I made this bracket of past winners who still lived in Chicago.
So football game style.
No,
fantasy
basketball,
football.
Basketball with the brackets.
Oh, and people
he
who may not
understand.
Know. I'm sorry, there's a whole audience here, gentlemen, that may not be familiar with this. I'm trying to get you guys to explain it for them.
So like March Madness, NCAA basketball, they have the 64-team bracket, and they all play down to the final four.
It's like a pyramid scheme on favorite side.
Right, right. Or two going into one.
And so you eliminate people on the round, and then they pair off with each other.
So I picked 36 comics, so we had a 36-man bracket, and then the first round, you got to vote online. So I had to pay this website to do the tournament, and the amount of votes were ridiculous. I was expecting a couple hundred votes. We got over 1,000 votes for the first round.
Wow.
And then we got almost 1,000 votes for the second round, which put it down to 8. So when we got down to 8, I held a live pageant at Kohl's that you guys are at. Mm-hmm. And I had the 8 comics compete, still in the bracket, but they had to do live pageants. So it was comedy. So they got to do their stand-up. Fashion show, which almost tore the place apart. It was amazing. And then question and answer, like old... Miss America pageant.
Okay.
Style.
And what kind of questions did you ask the contestants?
They were all sexy questions. Yeah. Like,
things you stick up your butt.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, like one was one was fuck, marry, kill the judges, mm-hmm. yeah. which were me and Natalie Judge.
And how many of them wanted to murder you?
No, I would never got murdered. Thank God.
I probably would kill Natalie.
Right.
Natalie Jones is a comedian you. In town yes. who, for some reason, every time we see her, she's like high or drunk.
But that's she's a not fun true. Girl.
We just saw her recently, and she said she was on ecstasy. Right.
So. But she recently went off because she lost her voice. So she does a Patsy Cline cover band.
Yeah,
she got her voice back. She went cold sober on everything for like 2 weeks.
Oh, really? Because she's like, I have to sing.
She has to get her host. Yeah.
It's because she's got a new boyfriend who's strangling her. For sexual release is what she was telling everybody at the crowd.
She's like,
I've been getting tied up these days.
But it was a huge success. Yeah. I couldn't imagine that the fashion show was amazing.
What did people wear?
One guy dressed the full head to toe lumberjack. Including a giant axe. And I was nice. Like, how did you get an axe into a bar? That makes no sense.
You just carry it in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we missed that part, but we met this hot muscle guy out in the lobby, and we're just like, let's go back to your place. Nothing happened, though. But
we try to make it happen, and we get to this guy's apartment, and, Mark and I are modestly good shape. Mm-hmm. And we get to this guy's apartment, and he has a half of his home dedicated to wrestling with a 2-inch... professional mat. Wrestling mat.
It was like mixed martial arts, though, stuff, yeah. too.
It's like so if you go to a dojo, basically.
Yeah, it was his home dojo. That's what it was. It was dojo. A dojo mat.
And I was like, dojo what? Is that dojo a character in Star Wars?
Dojo
Jar Jar Binks' cousin.
Dojo Binks.
Dojo Binks. It was like, and so he's there, and he's just like, he gets really excited talking about his dojo stuff, and he's like, do you want to try it? And I was like, I'm made out of glass and tissue paper.
He didn't make you sand the fence and paint the fence.
It was none of that, but he has a killer body, and I was just like, and we're getting stoned with this guy.
So no one wrestled?
And he wants to physically assault us, and I'm like... That's part of his sexuality.
So then we went to Bobby Love's, and he did a karaoke of Sweet Caroline.
Aww.
And that's the last time we ever saw him.
Or spoke to him. So like a week later, we're at the beach, and he's there, and I'm like, hey, we had so much fun with you. And he's like, who are you? True story.
Paint the fence. You don't remember.
So how'd you pick the winner?
So it was alive. We'd keep our own little scorecard, mm-hmm. and then we still had the bracket. So we went from after everybody was done with their category, we all had clipboards that we could write. So we had you could pick between two comics, and so we would write who we wanted to advance. So 8 became 4, 4 became 2, and the final 2 then just became 1. And Jeff Steinbrenner won. Did a great job.
I have no idea who that is.
Did he put out for you? Did you?
He didn't put out. He had one of the most creative costumes too. He came out in a like full satin tuxedo and a huge sign that said, "I will not debase myself." And then he threw the sign away, and everything was rip away until he was down to a little.
Oh, I like that.
Bikini underwear.
That's
very
hot.
Funny. Yeah.
There's
a couple pictures
on my
Facebook if you want to check it out.
No, we'll make sure we share them.
Hold on a second. Facebook, Jeff Steinbrenner?
No, on Bill Cruz's. Bill Cruz.
Okay. Well, I'll look for it later. I'm sure he's hot. I'll take your word for it.
So how many dick pics did you get from the top 8? How many of those people on that stage sent you a dick pic?
Good question. Even if I knew off the top of my head, I wouldn't tell you.
Really?
I keep those close to the heart.
You just have to tell me the number. You don't have to tell me how.
Of the top 8, I'd have to imagine at least 1 or 2 off the top of my head.
And you got how many dick pics total?
Oh, my God. Total? From all 4 years? It's got to be around 10 or 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you impressed by? Do you think they really were their dicks, or did they just randomly search for dick pics?
No, I could. I can spot. I can spot a fake.
Did anybody try to send you a fake dick pic?
Oh yeah, I've gotten a couple of fake ones. The ones that I hate are the Dick Clark ones and like Dick Van Dyke and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
That's just rude.
I've seen them all, guys. It's no longer funny.
My dick pic,
Dick Van Dyke, Dick Cheney.
So on July 22nd, you're going to be performing at Zany's Queer Comedy Nights 3-year anniversary.
It's huge.
With Adam Guarino, Candy Lawrence, Kelsey Huff, and one of the funniest rising stars in Chicago comedy scene is Tranica Rex.
Right. Who I've never performed with. I'm excited.
You guys have never actually met each other.
No.
And she says, she wrote to me on Facebook and says, "Hi, Bill Cruz. I look forward to hearing you explain the Boston Market stains on your shirt at the show."
Did she say Boston Market or BM?
Boston Market.
Oh, okay.
Spelled out. Well, the Boston Market by there is closed now, so you won't be able to eat there.
I went by the other day and it's all boarded up. I was like, what's going on?
Is she just throwing shade at you, or is there something?
I don't know. I'm sure. Well,
because you actually are very well dressed for somebody who eats a lot of chicken wings and watches a lot of football games.
I always keep a backup. You learned your lesson.
But you're a guy's guy, and it's like you know most men have stains on their shirts, but you are very well dressed.
It might have been. I think there was one time at Zany's where Adam Guarino bought everybody Boston Market. I might have spilled some gravy on me.
Oh. Because I don't want to come across as Joe Biden talk about Obama like he's very clean, he smells good.
Yeah, because I think I had to wear my hoodie on stage from Galway Bay to cover up the Boston Market gravy that I spilt on myself.
That sounds like a really good night, people, and that's July 22nd.
And it's a huge anniversary. They've been doing it for 3 years now at Zany's, which is amazing.
And
it's
Mark and I will be there.
Longest running queer comedy nights in the nation.
Absolutely.
Mark and I will be there. Some of your favorite guests from the podcast will be there. And
I got to tell you, Kelsey Huff is really a lot of fun. Oh, she's been a guest on this podcast before. And Candy Lawrence is just amazing. I asked her to come on the podcast before, but I don't think she likes us.
I don't know. But she got a huge write-up in the Reader recently.
I know.
And she's been, I saw her at Town Hall Pub the other night, and she was just on fire.
She sets it on fire.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And then on the 26th of July, you're going to be at Cole's Bar doing Bill Cruise the Musical.
Yeah, it's my swan song to Chicago, if you will. I'm having a handful of my favorite comics, and then I'm doing a bunch of parody songs saying goodbye to Chicago and this comedy scene.
So, like, how do you solve a problem like diarrhea? How do you keep the shits from running down? Something like that.
Well, it's not exactly Chicago. Like that. I don't know how I can top that, number one.
Give us one Yankee Doodle. What song are you going to parody?
One of them I've already picked out and written the lyrics to is The Ladies Who Lunch from Company.
Can you sing a little bit?
No, I don't want to.
Those people that are coming to Coles aren't going to hear it.
They'll be so drunk they won't remember.
The drink? Is that what it is? Because basically people get into comedy for one of two reasons. It's either to cover up their alcohol substance abuse or their cocaine substance abuse.
Right, right. Or both.
So they'll be so high and drunk they won't even remember if they heard this
podcast.
We'll
record it and then you can have the recording.
Okay.
All right. How about this one, like, "Oh, come in my anus, forceful and dominant. Oh, won't you come inside me with your man mayonnaise?"
Are these all like themes of like going away songs kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Oh.
So. You're
going to do a little Dreamgirls? It's hard to say goodbye.
I did do.
You got a couple of other girls. Right. Come on,
just puppets, maybe.
Make sure you have the gloves and the moves. Little Supremes.
The first time I quit the Lincoln Lodge, I did "And I'm Telling You."
Oh. So did you lip sync it? Or did
no,
you
I think I rewrote the parody lyrics.
And I am blowing you.
And it was a huge bomb.
What was it?
Oh, really? Because you know what it is? Straight people don't know Dreamgirls.
Right.
We did a little video. Did we ever post that online of the cake?
Oh,
I don't think we ever did.
We lost the video.
Fausto sang a song to a piece of cake, and I'm eating you.
And I am eating you. You're so delicious. You're the best cake I ever tasted. Not a crumb will ever go wasted.
I have no doubt no one at the show will understand what I'm doing or why it's funny, the parody of the song.
You need to have
doing.
Like a little thing that comes out. This is a gay reference to this, or it's musical related. Right. Or just pack the audience with musical theater folks.
Right.
So, Bill, you're moving to Los Angeles. How soon before you stop returning our calls and pretend like we never knew each other.
Well, as soon as I get on some VH1 show,
well, just because, you know, you have Skype on your computer, or just right? telephone. We can do always do it over the phone.
Right.
It's yeah. always a
this is assuming I can afford internet.
Well, you can always, you know, listen, I have friends out in LA. You can probably sit on their back porch and get on their Wi-Fi.
You go to the public library.
Yeah. Yes. Well, the rest like, of the- excuse me. I'm doing a podcast here.
Hey, can the bums keep it down, please? I'm trying to do a podcast.
Can you masturbate later? You're distracting me.
Can you not whirl the microfiche so loud? All I'm getting in the background is
things people say in libraries. Madonna. Microfiche. Listen, no matter how famous you get, if you get a jury duty summons, you need to show up and not pretend like I didn't get it in the mail.
You got jury duty?
Uh-huh.
Madonna got jury duty?
Madonna got jury duty and went to New York's, whatever they do, the jury duty. And they had her in a...
the courthouse?
The courthouse. They kept her in a separate room.
Of course.
And then the jurors were like, no.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would totally want Madonna on my
jury. Oh, absolutely.
But she might vote against you. She might send you to prison.
I don't care. I just want to look at her and be like, give her the side eye. Like, what's she going to do?
Imagine if she was a juror on a case about like illegally downloading music.
Right.
And she sends you to prison for life. And you're like, what about the revolution, Madonna? And you're like, not when it comes to my pocketbook.
It's some case where some guy's selling downloaded copies of a Vita on the street corner.
Nobody's buying those.
Yeah, no.
Actually, a lot of celebrities have actually served on jury panels. Tom Hanks, Barbara Walters, and Sarah Jessica Parker.
So really?
It's not unprecedented, but the New York City courthouse said, we ain't got enough money to handle Madonna. Oh,
for security? Yeah.
For security and just, you know, dealing with other things.
Madonna.
And Madonna.
But so she actually showed up for it?
She showed up and she was actually really nice and respectful. And she's like, listen, I don't want to cause any trouble. I'm just trying to be a good citizen.
By the way, this is my 12-year-old boyfriend.
I'm selling cheese and beer made out of my vagina yeast.
She didn't dress up like
yesterday's show,
Princess Leia, like Tina Fey and 30 Rock, to try to get out of it.
Well, remember Sarah Silverman said, "Is like, I love chinks."
Because she wanted to get out of it, but she's like, oh, let me write something racist on it, but I don't want to write something that's like derogatory hateful. Or hateful, so I'll just write, I love chinks. And so she didn't, but you know, the chinks weren't having it.
No.
I'm sorry. I think
Asian-American.
Sorry.
But so there was this sweet old man who's kind of he was a liberal editor for some newspaper somewhere, and he wrote an editorial about why conservatives hate Obama so much. This week, Sarah Palin is like, it's time to impeach Obama. And he said, the reason that you have such a hard time with President Obama is because he's black. And so the headline of the article, despite everybody in the office, his wife, his children,
proofreading it, yeah,
said N-word in the White House. N-I-G-G-E-R in the White House. And he's like, I don't know why people have a problem with that.
That was the headline on the paper.
That was the headline.
And he chose, well, obviously they chose it for shock value because he supports the president, right?
It was a pro-Obama article. And he really, the headline should have been black man in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been drive the point home. But instead he wanted to be edgy for an 80-year-old.
So he's 80 years old and decides that N-word is the thing to put in the headline.
Yeah. And everybody, every single person, the secretary, all the writers, all the...
They saw it.
They all said, don't do this. And he's like, I believe strongly about this. Then he ran and he's like, okay, I was wrong.
I got 10 bucks says that was like their best-selling paper.
Probably.
People bought it just for like...
Is this actually a newspaper?
Yeah, a newspaper, yeah.
I don't have a copy of it.
I don't have the story. Let me see.
But if he'd been smart about it, like, because I still remember when the New York Post, their headline for when Ike Turner died was Ike beats Tina to death.
No, they didn't.
It was one of the best.
Just
ever.
To clarify, the name of the editor is James Lincoln Collier, and it's at Westview News.
And where's that based out of?
In New York.
Oh, it is in New York.
Yeah. And so you know, people were upset about it. And he's like,
sorry, I'm old.
It's like, how do you spell it exactly? With an A or an I? Or E?
The Google search isn't helping.
Yeah. Because is there like a, what is it, an Associated Press guidebook to slur words right. in headlines?
But yeah, they do say not to use those kinds of words in headlines. So he's not following the AP style at all.
Yeah, so, well, maybe he was like, I don't know. But so it's a real news story, actually. Many people are writing it and covering it. But the funny thing is also, too, is that they're blurring out the N-word in the photo screenshots of it, you know, and has the old guy in the photo instead of a photo of Obama, because I guess the layout staff was like, let's just put this old coot's
What was
picture.
He thinking?
He was selling papers.
He's, you know, my mother. My mother's the same way. She's like irrationally in love with Obama, and she says some really stupid things sometimes too. And
she doesn't say the N word.
No, she would never say that. But
she wouldn't write an article and put the N word in there.
My grandmother would have.
Well, your mother, grandmother was racist.
She was.
But that's I fear that when it happens when we get old and we say something that we're not supposed to.
What could you say that, well...
Because the one example I always did was like, you know, what if, you know...
I'm already writing saying the thing about the C word, the jinx, right. I just said 3 minutes ago. I'm like, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. That's going to come back and haunt me someday. Nah, it won't. Nobody's going to care.
When you run for office.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But
in the future, like...
We make mistakes.
Like, oh, hey, Grandpa, this is my boyfriend. He's a blog... Or I'm like, oh, the blogger? And they're like, Grandpa, you can't say that. That is their word.
So, are we happy how the World Cup turned out? Do you even know
who turn
won?
Out? I don't. Is it still going?
Are you still watching?
No,
I watched the American games. Okay. The America versus Belgium game was very exciting, and I was still bored out of my gourd. It was, I can't believe, it was like one of the most exciting, everybody, it's one of the most exciting games in history. I'm like, I'm bored. This is the worst time I've ever had at a bar watching sports. It's just, it was so...
I just see, like, at my gym is like the custodial staff is just glued in front of the TV instead of like cleaning stuff up. They're just like, TV.
They said the day after Mexico lost their game and were eliminated, like, you couldn't get anything done in the city because Mexicans were so pissed.
So there's been science done with the World Cup, a scientific study. One of the questions we get asked all the time on this podcast is, does sex affect my athletic performance?
Oh, okay.
And some
because they
teams
say, like, don't have sex before
the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even people say, like, don't have sex before going to the gym to work out and stuff.
Because you're going to have sex at the gym.
So, save that boner for the steam room.
So there's a study, and I guess they polled all the teams that have played so far in the World Cup whether they had a rule for the team to not have sex before the competition. The teams for Mexico, Chile, Russia, Bosnia, and Herzegovina.
Oh, this
Thank
is
going to
be good. No, try it again. One more time.
Herzegovina.
Oh, can we just loop that?
And
somebody said they wanted to go through and get a thing of all the words that Fausto mispronounces.
That's Bob the Drag Queen.
But that's just too much work.
It'd be an hour and a half long.
So the teams that banned sex were eliminated in round 16. Meanwhile, teams such as Brazil, Costa Rica, France, and the Netherlands, who are swingers, did not ban sex or place minor restrictions on sex, had to advance to at least the quarterfinals.
So it's better to it's better not to ban sex.
But interestingly enough, Brazil said you can have sex before the game, but no acrobatics.
Ooh. Because those Brazilians get freaky.
Yeah, they do.
They do some weird ass shit. I would think that it's like you would want to have sex like maybe the day before, the night before, or something like that, or maybe that morning. But it's like you want your juices flowing, and you know when you have sex, you just become like, oh, okay, everything's okay now.
So the rule of thumb, while there's no scientific evidence validating that sex adversely affects athletic performance, many coaches and teams still believe that it produces tired, unfocused players. However, this study suggests that allowing some sex or sex
as non-acrobatic sex.
Non-acrobatic sex actually might be really good for you.
So good old missionary, just 5 minutes in and out. Go for it.
Don't get your dick sucked.
Like half of men blow in like 2 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about these because, you know, they talk about the Olympics, but the Olympics is just a giant orgy. Like the whole point is like there's always stories like the one time Grindr shut down.
It broke.
Because of the Olympics. They were like, there was too many people on Grindr. At the other, so
I think that was just a press release by
Grindr.
Grindr, like, to explain why their app is so shitty. Is what happened?
Ain't nobody on Grindr now.
Hey, we can't tell everybody Paul spilled orange juice on the computer. Just tell him it went down because the Olympics.
Because of all the horny athletes. I actually, you know, was talking to people in Sochi on via Scruff during the Olympics and asking them, "Are you guys having sex within the Olympics?" And like the guys that were like unattractive, we're like, "Oh yeah, I've had sex with a hockey player, I've had sex with this person," but the hot guys are like, "No, we never see them, we don't know where they are, they're completely separated from us in their own little village, its security is very high, all that kind of stuff." So I'm gonna think that's probably the case. There's another study out there though too, is that hurricanes named after women, more people die in them than in hurricanes named after men.
Weird.
Because they think that the hurricanes named after women are less threatening.
And they what? Can
yeah.
Hey, it's a girl's not going to hurt me. Tropical Storm Eileen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Tropical Storm Fausto, which is currently surging off the coast of Mexico and California.
Mm-hmm. That's every year.
It's not posing any threat to anybody.
There's been many hurricanes named after Fausto. I don't know. Has there ever been a Hurricane Mark? I don't think so.
So
Hurricane Mark?
Counting since the year I was born.
They do it alphabetically, though, right?
Yeah.
So people are actually asking me this on Facebook, and I want to set the record straight. Since the year I was born, there's been five hurricanes and one tropical storm, counting this one named Fausto.
So do they have a set alphabet? I mean, they go by the alphabet, but is there set names for each alphabet letter?
I don't think so. I don't know the answer to that because I was like trying to actually answer that question and researching and like posting things on forums. It seems they don't necessarily have an they do go alphabetically, but they also like to give the same names to similar storm patterns.
Oh.
So Fausto's always kind of gone
off
up
Mexico.
Off
very
of Mexico.
Very swishy. Yeah. Kind of gay.
But interesting
doesn't
enough,
really, you know, Fausto
sticks around too long.
Hurricane Faustos have always been very benign.
Oh, we're not done here, sweetheart.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Swishy.
Go back to your show. Go back to the podcast. Back to your regularly scheduled show.
No, but so the hurricanes actually have been very benign. Minimal casualties. The worst one was in 2002, which was north of Hawaii. Mm.
Yours have always been fatalities. Like Pacific-based ones?
Pacific-based. And so the term is called, what is it? I wrote it down here. They're called tropical storms.
Yeah.
Or no, well, they're cyclones. What is it?
Cyclone. I think they're cyclones.
Typhoons.
They call them cyclones or something like that.
Tropical cyclones. Excuse me. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
The correct term is tropical cyclones, but many weather services still call them hurricanes to get people's attention because it is a serious thing. Yeah.
Well, why don't they just then name all hurricanes like evil names?
No, name them after celebrities so people go, "Oh my God, Hurricane Madonna."
Oh my God.
Yeah, but then they won't vacate. They don't want to take their vines of them in the middle of Hurricane Madonna as the storm surge sweeps them away.
But at least they'll pay attention.
And hurricane's one of the few words from Puerto Rico, from the Taínos. Hurricane, barbecue, and machete, right?
There was a third one.
Machete, I think.
I don't know if that's the one, but let's see if Bill knows his Puerto Rican language history.
Bill's
I'm Mexican.
He's Colorado
from
Mexican.
Denver.
Hammock. The hammock comes hamaca.
Okay.
Comes from Taino. It's an old Taino word.
Meaning
hammock.
Oh, okay. I thought there was an old root to it, like, you know,
hamaca.
Somewhere to put your bananas.
Hammock, barbacoa, barbecue,
oh, barbacoa,
and huracan, hurricane.
Hurricane.
Not hemicanes, hurricanes, girl. Yeah. That's why they named them after me.
Pina colada, is that one?
Hurricane Pina colada. That sounds like Disney.
Yeah, I'm like, if there was a hurricane Jar Jar Binks, you better believe everybody's evacuating the panhandle of Florida.
We're getting the Star Wars Museum. Are you excited now that you're moving out?
There's a Star Wars Museum?
Yeah. Star Wars Museum is coming to Chicago.
The George Lucas Museum of Narrative Art.
Where's that going to be?
That's going to be right by Soldier Field.
Get out.
Yeah, they're going to make like a parking lot there or something.
No,
something.
Get this. The parking lot where Soldier Iguana. Field's yeah. tailgating parties take place right. is going to be moved underground, so they're not going to be able to have tailgating Boo. Parties, and instead they're having the George Lucas Museum
there. Oh, this is going to be a big problem. All these guys who love tailgating are going to go beat up the nerd museum.
Exactly.
And they're going to pee on it.
They're like, wow, mess up your tailgating party.
Well, I remember I used to work at the Field Museum a long time ago.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you do, stuffing that dead animal? What did you do there?
I worked for the stores there. I would do merchandising. I would do the windows and stock merchandise.
Oh, I had no idea. You were a visual merchandiser?
Yeah.
Fancy.
Did you ever have sex with those like stuffed buffaloes when no one's looking?
Yes, all the time. I would break into
They're
the
sexy.
I'd break the glass.
Yeah, I'd break the glass.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. When you walk into the main room, right. there's these scary big buffaloes yeah. and you're like, I want to touch them.
Wow. Remind me not to take you anywhere. Especially the George Lucas Museum.
Cuz well, a lot of people don't realize that the Field Museum here yeah. in town at night doubles as a event space.
Disco. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so if you've worked as a cater waiter, you basically have had full reign of the museum because right. you can just sneak off and start fucking with
right.
shit.
Because there's like exhibits yeah. that they'll open, that no, like the gem room, no one goes in there. So you could easily...
They have the Hope Diamond there for a while.
Yeah, for a little while. But we had a Star the Wars cursed. Exhibit, the Art of Storytelling, was, mm-hmm. and it was the exhibit. And, you know, they had it, so they're like, hey, we need to get people into this museum, because, you know, they have, you know, they have to make money. And everybody at the museum, all the curators and stuff, they were like, this isn't science. This is science.
The Star Wars?
Yeah. And yeah. it was a huge moneymaker, just giant moneymaker.
And the dinosaurs, I'm sure, make money as well.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Sue's always a huge hit over there, the big pterosaurs. But here's something you don't know that they'll never tell you is people die there every day.
What do you mean?
Down at the Field Museum. They die all the
it's
time.
It's cursed.
Elderly people are there all the time, and they just drop. It's just
the
numbers
museum's
game.
Cursed.
It's not cursed. It's just a lot of. It's one of those things.
It's those
where
mummies. It's those goddamn Egyptian mummies. I told them they shouldn't bring those.
Scorpion
back.
King was a good movie.
You know, you get a lot of elderly groups yeah, going yeah. there. Well, odds are you keep funneling
do
elderly.
Do you guys
people.
Have like? I'm sure they have oh, yeah. like EMT.
We
like,
have usually there's an ambulance all the time ready to go at the Field Museum.
Oh wow!
Yeah, people die there every day.
Have you ever had any heart palpitations or yeah. rapid breathing while you were working there?
No.
And what happened at the baseball exhibit?
Baseball exhibit attracted more elderly people than and it got hot in that exhibit hall.
Oh, wow.
And they were dropping like flies.
And come to the Field Museum to die.
Yeah. And that happens. People die there every day.
They should actually make that part of the marketing campaign.
I don't see why not.
It's dangerous.
It's so good.
Tired of grandma? Bring her down to the Field Museum.
It's so good. It's literally the last thing you'll ever want to see.
So a lot of people are sharing this dance video craze.
What is it?
Oh, whooping,
yeah.
Where it's a lot that. Of black guys in LA making fake dick schlongs and then wiggling them around, kind of like booty bouncing, but with your cock.
Right.
But they're fake but dicks. They're not
it's
real
a
dicks.
Total, they're fake dicks.
It's well, not only is that fake dicks, but the whole video is a fake. It's done by Jimmy Kimmel.
It was a huge put on.
Yeah. So everyone's like, oh my God, this is so gay. And so like, I'm going to like the official videos page on YouTube and they're all like, you N-words are getting gay. We're so gay today and stuff. And it's like really like racist and homophobic things being posted on that stuff. And I'm like, Jimmy Kimmel's like,
so I like big dicks and I cannot lie. Right.
Well, and I think like now they're kind of like regretting making it because right. they're not, you know.
The fallout.
We did it. Right. It's like, oh, never mind.
Prank gone wrong.
Yeah. Speaking of prank gone wrong, but the potato salad Kickstarter is now at
$60,000.
$60,000.
That's insane.
If we cannot raise $12,000 for Cooking with Drag Queens.
I'm calling it quits.
War.
I'm just gonna move to LA with Bill.
I'm gonna live in an
you
underpass.
Stay on my futon.
So this
oh, you got a futon now, huh? You moved up in the world.
I sold 3 bags of oranges.
Not only have they've done potato salad Kickstarters, now there's copycats. So one for guacamole, one for pizza, one for breakfast tacos. Ugh, kill me.
I really hope that we can get as much press coverage.
Right. Now, does anybody know who this potato salad guy is?
Yeah,
he's from Columbus,
schmuck.
Ohio or something
and
like
what
that.
What was the, just as a goof?
Just as a goof.
He did as a goof.
I think Kickstarter is really doing something, you know, working with PR agencies and doing things.
To keep
because them. they want to say, hey, because they've opened it up, the scope of the different types of projects that they're willing to fund.
Okay.
They've opened it up, and so it's broader. So pretty much you can do anything. So they're trying to use this as an example of saying, hey, look, you can do anything.
Oh, okay.
You know, so.
But what I really like about doing, and this is why we're choosing Kickstarter, not Indiegogo or their campaigns, is like, if you don't get the full money, it doesn't happen. And so from the
way you set your mark,
yeah.
You don't get it, then you don't get any money.
You're not getting any money. And Cooking with Drag Queens will not happen if we do not raise exactly $12,000 at least.
Wow. So Kickstarter is just, yeah. Hey, we're all Oral Roberts.
We're all what?
Oral Roberts. I will take me home.
Oh, yes.
If you don't give me, what was it? $1 million, $10 million, Jesus, God's going to kill me. And
right.
Then, and he got it.
Yeah, they got it. We talked to Oral Roberts' grandson, who came out as gay, Randy Roberts Potts. Very sexy guy.
Potts is hot.
Yes. And he remembers.
We're still friends on Twitter. Oh,
yeah. I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Yeah. And he's still happily married with dogs and living in Texas, and he's still super cute.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to look that up.
Randy, anytime you want to come back on the show, you're always welcome.
He's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So when does your
Kickstarter start?
It starts next week.
And then how long do you have?
30 days to raise $12,000.
Are we going to do 30 days or 45 days?
What are your options?
35,
30 45. Or 40, up to 45.
Up to 45?
They don't recommend going any higher. And part of it is they want you to give a sense of urgency.
Right.
And there it is, you know, it's like, listen, if you want, there's all sorts of people who are dying for a new web series that features and introduces drag queens to a global audience. And they think that the idea of drag queens cooking in the kitchen with us is hysterically funny.
I think it's great.
And we want to also have a show that, you know, doesn't really like create a narrative that might not actually reflect what the drag queen is about.
Right.
I don't want to be in a situation where people are like, who's the most hated drag queen on this season of Cooking with Drag Queens?
Right.
It'll be Saltina.
No, well, it'll be teriyaki.
Potato salad. Whatever drag queen you get, it's named potato salad on the show.
So in some ways,
potato salad.
I'm very relieved that the potato salad thing has caught on, because I think actually
people are gonna go back to Kickstarter and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because people were like raising an eyebrow going, cooking with drag queens? Now they're like, of course this is gonna happen.
Right. I haven't seen the Veronica Mars movie. I gave that $5.
Did that ever come out?
Yeah, it came out. I missed it.
We gave Nadia Ginsburg.
Did you get to watch it for free?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I don't know. No?
No?
I don't know.
No?
I want to see it.
I want to see it too. I'm sure you can download it.
I have to imagine so. But I already gave him $5. I'm not going to spend another $5 just to watch it.
BitTorrent that shit, Bill.
I don't know how that works.
I'll show you after the podcast.
Like I said, I just figured out how to run Facebook and Twitter at the same time on my phone. I'm going to make it.
Well, you know, it's if Facebook was on a beer bottle, you'd be a web marketing genius.
I haven't had it. That's the Kickstarter for me. It's beer. Just give me a beer. It's a Kickstarter.
Oh, do you want a beer? I have beer.
I had a beer for the first time, and it had to have been 6 months the other day.
What have you been drinking?
Just all Skinny Pirates, girl.
Oh, wow.
That's it.
So you're Diet Coke and Captain Morgan.
Tall, no lime.
Let's talk about the pinup girl for the tea party, Holly Fisher, who's posing in front of Hobby Lobby wearing what, Mark?
Oh, my God.
So her name's Holly Fisher, and she's a Twitter user, and she posed in front of the Holly Lobby.
Hobby Lobby.
And her name's Holly Fisher. So she's Holly Hobby Fisher is what people are calling her. She's got five names now.
It's a Gavinia.
And so she's also like posing with a Chick-fil-A cup.
Oh,
and
right.
She's like very happy. Like she's like, yay.
With a gun. She's posing
with
a gun.
Well, that's the one photo.
Okay. What's she wearing though?
And she was wearing another, I don't know what it was the t-shirt said something.
Pro-life.
Yeah, so it said pro-life. And so she's out there celebrating Hobby Lobby's win. And then people are saying, the only thing you're missing is a gun and a Bible and a flag. So then she takes a picture with the flag behind her, a gun and a Bible. And then people are holding it up next to this jihadist woman. We're like, please explain the difference between these two people. Because they're both fundamentally conservative. Now, the thing about her is that, you know, the party, what is it, Americans Against the Tea Party, the website, kind of exposed her, saying like she's a hypocrite and a liar, really, because here, like, part of the reason why she's famous is because she's criticizing Obamacare, saying that because of Obamacare, the company that her husband works for has to change their insurance provider, and her premiums have gone up. You know, and so here she is complaining about Hobby Lobby, or she's saying that Hobby Lobby is great because they're choosing for their employees what they can use and what they can't use for their insurance. Yet she's complaining her husband's company being able to choose who they want. And now the reason why they have to why they're changing their insurance company is because either that company or the state that they lived in has applied for waivers for Obamacare.
Okay.
And so if actually her company or the state that she lived in complied with Obamacare, her premiums would actually be lower and affordable, because that's what Obamacare wants. It wants people to have health care. You know, it's not out there death panels are trying to kill people. It's these companies that are fighting against it is it's the problem.
So that was how she got started in this whole thing anyway, just because her husband, she had the change. So she's like, see, this is what.
This is what's happened under Obamacare. This is what's happened to me.
And out of that, she's become a celebrity.
And she's become a celebrity. Yes.
She's a conservative Islamic. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. Christian conservative hipster.
I gotcha. So yeah, she looks pretty. How old?
She's like in her 20s.
Okay.
Well, I'd say late 20s, right?
You go, Holly, crazy. Anybody who's that crazy, it's like. Have you ever seen
She's
this?
Probably going to run for office. She could easily become governor of Alaska. I mean, if Sarah Palin can do that kind of stuff. And,
where's she from?
I'm not really sure.
Have you seen this trend in the South? Conservatives who are anti-environmental reform are modifying their trucks to spew black smoke. They're calling it rolling coal. So you think truck nuts was obnoxious?
I love truck nuts.
I like truck nuts.
Bring back truck nuts.
Yeah, this is police bring truck nuts and not rolling coal. So they're basically like driving on the highway, and when they find a hybrid car, they pull up in front of it and then they chug the black smoke and videotape themselves like basically, you know,
polluting. That's hysterical.
And creating a risk for a car accident on the highway because the black smoke like blocks the view of the driver behind
them. Right.
Now, the thing about it is like, is this actually legal? Because there are emissions laws, and modifying your car to intentionally emit toxic smoke seems...
But let's get real about this. How many people are actually doing this? Is it it's one or two people having a lark, but because somebody pulled, you know, it's on a website and people are going, it's kind of become a straw man as though like this is happening everywhere. It's not. It's not happening.
It's got to be like just
it's
a very handful. Limited.
It's a handful of people.
Because number one, why would you do that to your car? That's a lot of money and work to put to. And then, if you have to get your emissions renewed, then you got to take it all out because you can't get it renewed.
Well, not all states have the same emissions laws.
Yeah,
and like Texas emissions laws are actually very liberal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
Indiana's too. From
notice what I just said.
What?
Liberal.
Ooh.
See the correct use of the term. To without caution. Anyways, we have some great questions from our listeners.
It's a convenient.
On Facebook, Will Bush wants to know, when are you bitches gonna bite the bullet and apply for RuPaul's Drag Race?
Well, you're not Bill? Drag queens. If I was, I always said if I was a drag queen, that would be my name, Aaron Watershow.
Aaron Watershow, I like that.
I like that. Mark would be Maya Ines.
Maya Ines.
But you actually do have a drag name, which is Daphne Dumont.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good one.
Too, isn't it?
One of the most beautiful women on YouTube. I would love to be on RuPaul's Drag Race, but I'm mortified that they would Kelly Mantle me and eliminate me the first day. And here I am stuck with $30,000 worth of costumes. And they're like, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? And they're like, well, Willem put out a video. We apologized.
Right.
I would want to make your stuff out of paper.
I'd love to be one of the guest judges. That'd be fun. Get famous enough for that.
If you are famous enough to be a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, being a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race is not going to do anything for your career.
Right. This is just something I'd want to do.
You got to go into an AA meeting with RuPaul. Because it seems like all the guest judges are like people he knows from like recovery.
Really? I didn't know he was in recovery.
We don't know either. We're just assuming.
Well, he RuPaul's out about being in recovery. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
It's just, half of his podcast is all about
If you
that.
Hear like him talk, it's all this new agey kind of like self-aware and self-help. Evolved. Being evolved, that kind of stuff. Getting rid of the ego.
I'm all for it. I think it's, you know, people encouraging people to meditate and to think about their lives in constructive, healthy ways. Yeah. I think it's
always had great advice on the show. Yeah. And I did like, it's one of those things where you don't want to get too crazy about, but I kind of liked his response to the whole tranny thing.
Brian Sweeney wasn't having any of it.
Yeah. And I understand it. I get it. But at some point, because it's the same advice I give to comics. You got to toughen up. If this is hard for you, then you got to toughen up.
Well, the thing about it, though, too, is like, you know, there's a general sense of outrage. And it's one of those things. It's like, I don't want to hear people shouting tranny left and right and tranny left and right. And don't call people what they don't want to be called is what it is. But it's like, if you're comfortable with your friends saying it, that's fine. But when you say it to a mass audience, you know, expect repercussions.
Like that crazy old man in that newspaper was like, N-word in the White House. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, use some discretion, use some taste. And this is what I tell all the comedians that ask me that question. Who do you want to attract to be your audience?
Right.
Do you want to cast a wide net? Do you want to invite people to enjoy your humor and your comedy? Or do you want to turn your act into something where it's about your insistence on using a word that you really didn't use that much to begin with? Mm-hmm. And now you're like drawing a line in the sand. Like,
it's mine
and belongs to me. And and that's ultimately what it's about. I mean, I don't see you like cussing and slurring on a stage anyway.
Well, I cuss a lot.
You do?
Yeah, I'm a dirty comic now.
You are? Yeah. When did that happen?
That happened like 2 years, 3 years ago. I was just like, fuck it. I'm trying. Because forever I tried to be clean. It was just.
Because you used to be like, I just got off the grand, the grand.
It wasn't just grand. It was fabulous.
So now you're like, hey, you bitches, suck my dick.
It's fucking awesome.
That's pretty much it.
Louis Magana Grasschild says, Fausto, you said you were a college teacher. Please elaborate.
Mark and I are both qualified to teach at the college level, and I've actually taught for a year and a half at the School of the Art Institute in the undergraduate program in the 4D design, which is basically what this podcast is. I come in, I created a lesson plan, and basically it was to encourage, to get students introduced to video, film editing, blogging, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And it pays crap. That's why I don't do it.
Matthew Riv says, what are your thoughts on taking the Gay Pride Parade out of Boys Town, considering the growth in the past years? They're talking about moving it down to Columbus Drive, where some of the other parades are. Like the Puerto Rican Pride Parade is, they do it every other year, and one time in Humboldt Park and then the other time in the Columbus Drive. I don't know. I think it would be great because then it'd be less likely for me to go and I wouldn't have to put up with the bullshit. But you enjoy watching the parade.
I do. I've enjoyed it every year. Well, except for the 1 year that I didn't go. It's a really weird issue because it there's so many splinter issues that go with it and how Boys Town reacts to being inclusive or not. Mm-hmm. Like, if this is really about gay pride, then shouldn't we be inclusive of all people in Chicago that are gay that come here to celebrate, and how do they celebrate? And of course it's very difficult because it's associated with crime and public drunkenness and et cetera, et cetera.
Whereas before it used to be more respectful.
I don't every time like, it used
it's
to
just
be,
that it's more people.
It's just more people. And you have to understand that it does bring up a lot of racial issues, but you have to handle that carefully because this isn't about we have to protect our neighborhood and stuff like that. I'm like, protect from what? This is not a protecting our neighborhood celebration. This is about being gay queer pride. And being proud and you got to be proud of everything. And if you can't figure out a way to deal with that, then maybe you should move it.
I'm a big fan of African-American black youth and at these pride events and stuff. They wear the best fashion. Right. They have the best dance circle dance offs. Mm-hmm. And it's like all this kind of like, for me, as this kind of like, white Puerto Rican living in the north side of Chicago, I like to be exposed to new sensibilities and people. And it's like, I enjoy going to Lakeview, to Boys Town, and see all kinds of people that I normally, in the past, didn't see.
Right. Because the neighborhood has changed dramatically.
Vastly.
On a Saturday night, it's completely different now than it was even, like, say, 5 or 6 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly, yeah. And I remember, too, when I first moved here, just the idea of a... Because they had just put in the pillars, apparently. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is crazy. And, you know, just walking up and down the strip and understanding that, you know, not only is Chicago... unique that we have that kind of neighborhood that's so recognized by the city and everything
it's
else.
It's on Google Maps. Yeah. You can search Boys Town and it shows up.
But you have to understand, like, that's supposed to represent all of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And if you can't handle that, then maybe you...
Well, because people don't realize that Chicago is what is it, like 40% black.
Right.
Most of it lives on the south side of the city because the city's always been very segregated. And so I think you had a lot of people in Boys Town that moved from small towns throughout the Midwest. And so they're not used to this. And so when they see something like this, they're like, oh my God.
Well, not only that, but the reaction is get them out as soon as it happens. And I'm like, oh, what about creating something to where, okay, if this event lasts longer than the actual parade, how do we create an environment then to include them and to use it to our advantage instead of a disadvantage?
Right.
And as far as the parade goes, the parade's, you know, obviously we'd love to have a stay in the neighborhood. That's what it's about. And this is our chance to show the rest of the city how great this neighborhood has become and how good, you know, we've had it and been able to create this kind of community.
Mm-hmm.
But if the community can't handle that, then maybe it's time to think
I heard they're going to ban all alcoholic beverages from Gay Pride.
Yeah, that's every year I've been in Chicago. They've
been like, don't scare me like that.
Over my dead body. Justin Ruggieri wants to know, do we guys have any thoughts on how to make Pride less shitty in general?
That's a good question.
Well, if you're fed up with it, just don't go.
I like that there's an idea that there's some control over the event now.
Yeah.
It's
well,
a parade.
There isn't.
It's a parade.
It's chaos. Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting.
It's chaos. It's controlled chaos.
It's controlled chaos. Listen, my feeling about it is one of the biggest problems is that it's really expensive to have a float.
Yeah.
And so it's only going to be corporations and you know, people who want to advertise to that crowd are the ones going to have floats, which leaves you with a really shitty parade.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to have an awesome parade, you invite groups and people who are very creative or have done interesting things to be a part of the parade and have those other groups that pay for the floats to subsidize their appearance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have corporate America pay for some fucking art.
Yeah.
Instead of just like having a trolley or a bus or something like that.
And it's hard because, you know, you want to be so inclusive to all the great groups that are around. Like every time you see PFLAG and the veterans and all that stuff, obviously they need to be included. But it's difficult because once something gets this big, then trying to control the chaos is a little difficult. If you do... Let's say, for instance, let's do it downtown. Let's take it there. Is it really going to relieve the issues that people have with it in Boys Town? Because my feeling is the people that still go to the parade downtown, as soon as the parade's over, where are they going to go? Then go
back
home,
to Boys Town.
Then go downtown, or then go back to Boys Town.
So, I don't know. I don't think they're just trying to figure out what to do with it. Because it's an imperfect thing.
Of course. And there's no right answer. There's no way to know.
People are really excited about Cooking with Drag Queens. There's a lot of questions in about this. Hannah DeVore wants to know, will you guys be making a Vivacious Ornacia cupcake? Is Ornacia the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 6? Obviously. So make the cupcake, okay?
We'll make one. We're actually thinking about doing a cupcake a day because you got to keep people excited about the Kickstarter.
That's
and so Sharon is doing it basing on some of your favorite drag queens. Now, just because we represent a drag queen does not necessarily mean she endorses the Kickstarter.
Correct.
It just means we're stealing her image to promote it.
In cupcake form.
In cupcake form.
Well, I feel like I've gone around and videotaped so many drag queens, like, and when I explain to them the concept of the show, they're like, they don't get it, but they'll endorse it anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
One of our listeners in New York City right now is going to be videotaping Lady Bunny after her show. And hopefully Joseph Michael McShay will get us that video.
And what's really brilliant, this past weekend, we got to meet Raja for the first time.
Oh, no way.
Wonderful experience. And Fausto got Raja to endorse Cooking with Drag Queens. And should we tell, we're going to tell the podcast listeners out here.
Yes.
This little, at the end of it, Fausto gets her to promise that Cooking with Drag Queens is going to be better than her video, Lady Marmalade. And promised, and she was hesitant at first. She's like, it'll be better than Lady Marmalade. Which is kind of setting the bar kind of low. Yeah. But it was just so brilliant. I was just like, yes.
Well,
you're so brilliant for thinking
Cooking
about
with Drag Queens won't get real good until season 3 anyway.
If there is a season 3. So this is the thing about it is with the Kickstarter, even though we can accomplish it by raising 12,000, if we go even further, then we can actually secure funding for season 2, season 3.
Yeah.
And if we have enough funding, what we want to do is pack up the bags, pack up the crew and the camera, and go to San Francisco. I think that should be the first city that we go to, and document the amazing drag queens that are part of Peaches of Crisis scene with that show. Lady Bear, Cousin Wonderlet, then Santos.
She lives in New Orleans.
Martini. All these Heclina and Heclina's friends.
Anaconda.
Tranny Shack.
And let's get someone that hate Peaches. I'm sure that we can find one drag queen that hates her.
Heclina.
But then if you do, then that has to be like the barbecue one where you're just outside all the time barbecuing with drag queens.
It's like a tailgate party with drag queens.
Tailgate. Ooh, perfect name.
Somebody on Facebook is also asking about why don't you do cooking with drag queens? You got to do it like a View the Talk style show with drag queens. And I'm like, well, isn't that what this podcast is?
That's what The View is, isn't it?
Well, whenever we have a podcast, a drag queens on the podcast, part of it is that they're traveling and working really hard.
Right.
And they're not that comfortable talking about news or current topics because they're working so hard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the kind of drag queens that you would have to make that show successful means that the queens couldn't spend a lot of time touring.
Right.
Which means you would have to pay them a lot of money to make it worth their while. So financially, it'd be a real struggle and challenge because the audience might be limited. That's why you don't see Logo or Bravo creating a program like that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I know this was posted a month ago, but Lady Gaga, we just came across it. Lady Gaga's GUI art pop video, which is 12 minutes long, featuring the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
And Andy Cohen.
Andy Cohen as the Teletubbies baby.
The son.
The son.
What?
It's real stupid. You can see Lady Gaga's very influenced by Versace. And I understand that the person that helped with them filming at San Simeon, the castle built by William Randolph Hearst on the coast of California, that I think they got fired because they're like, you weren't allowed to do that
or didn't have the permission
for it. Something happened weird with that. I forget.
Now, it's a 12-minute video. Is the song 12 minutes?
It's 12 minutes.
I got to say, you know, the videos, it doesn't suck.
Okay.
You know, it starts off with her like as an angel that's fallen from heaven. It kind of looks, she's laying in a pit, kind of like, do you ever see the Simpsons episode where they find the archaeological finds at the Mall of the Angel?
Right.
It kind of looks like that.
Nice.
And then it goes into like, you know, dancing and music, but if you listen to the music closely, it's like she just does a lot of theme and variation with her own music. A lot of her own, you know, bass lines and music lines are very much the same.
Fair enough.
You could sing Bad Romance pretty much right over this song.
Wow.
At certain
actually
points.
You could sing Bad Romance over half of Lady Gaga's latest Hey Jude, what is that? Jude, da 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 da. My heart belongs to Judas, baby. Oh.
Well, I'm excited. There's a new Weird Al Yankovic Judas album going to be released.
What?
Yeah, it's been like 2-3 years, and he's putting out a video every day to celebrate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's that? That's happening soon.
Yeah, it's happening in the next couple months.
Oh, wow! Yeah,
can't wait. And he actually
when was the last time he put out an album?
It's been like 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And rumor has it this might be his last. That he's going to retire.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The farewell tour.
Yeah. He just recently did a the battle raps, the historical battle raps, Sir Isaac Newton versus Bill Nye. He plays Isaac Newton. It's very good.
Oh my God, I'll have to watch that.
People are also weighing in a lot, and they're wanting us to do shows on all sorts of topics. Open relationships. Lalo Verde wants to know about that. We did a whole show, many shows about that. Actually, there's a tag. Go to feastoffun.com. You can search in the upper bar, just open relationships.
And there's also a tag for relationships as
and
well.
Relationships.
Can I be in an open relationship if I'm single?
Sure.
Okay.
I guess. A relationship can be anything you want it
to
be.
I'm updating Facebook in an hour, everybody.
And then Mark, Blair wants us to do a podcast about gay bodybuilding and transformation with drag queens.
Okay. Transformistas.
And Mark Allen Del Grosso wants us to do a show on sexual fetishes, specifically choking. He says, I'm glad to know I'm not the only one who's into choking Mark.
He's not the only one into choking Mark?
Or? No, I like that interpretation.
Turned on because I said on the podcast once or twice that I enjoy like choking. Choked. No, I'm the choker.
Oh.
I don't like being choked. No, don't choke me. I'll fucking kill you, choke me.
I'll kill you.
Oh, that'd be a great shirt. Don't choke me.
Well, it's not like I choke them like death. It's just, you know, a little bit of pressure goes a long way.
I'll be sometimes in bed and Mark gives me a little hug and then he starts getting his hands around my neck and I'm like, don't even think about it. He's like, are you sure you don't want me to do this?
You're going to bed at night just putting baby oil around your neck.
Well, that's part of the reason I don't sleep in the same bed with Mark, because it's like in the middle of the night, he'll strangle me.
But it doesn't work like that.
I'm just trying to crush your love neck.
Your trachea. Stop. Make it tighter for when my cock goes down.
Stop loving me, baby. Stop loving me so much.
Ukrainian astronomers have officially named a star Putin is a dickhead.
Nice.
So for $10, you can name a star. And so and it's based on, because I guess the Ukrainian president or the ambassador came out, the foreign minister came out and like said publicly, Putin is a dickhead. Nice. So like, well, let's name a star after him.
That's beautiful. So, yeah,
Putin is a dickhead.
I have bad news for that.
What?
The turf war between Ukraine and Russia has now made its way into outer space. But a new story says Putin is a dickhead star will not be renamed.
Oh.
And Ukrainian astronomers are delighted.
Oh, it will not be.
Oh, it will not be renamed. Yeah. So it has to stay. Putin is a dickhead.
I'm not sure exactly what they're saying. There's basically a controversy whether... it's worth noting that these aren't official star names. The actual historical database of star names is in the hands of the International Astronomical Union, and they seldom or ever do names like, you know, Marcus likes to choke people.
Ivan, we are in charge of the stars, sir.
But I don't know. So it's not a real thing. So it sounds like a good, nice idea, but it's not really going to happen.
And the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, today announced it is withdrawing its support for ENDA, saying that it cannot support it. It says federal legislation to protect LGBT people from workplace discrimination is way beyond overdue, but Congress has no place giving religiously affiliated employers a license to discriminate against LGBT people. We can no longer support a bill that treats LGBT discrimination as different and somehow more legitimate than other forms of discrimination. Because, you know, they wanted to have a religious exemption this. But it's like, where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? I mean, it's like, you know, what happens if you have a woman come to work and she's having an affair? Are you going to stone her at work? It's like,
Or fire her.
Or fire her?
Workplace discrimination. Yeah. Not workplace stoning.
Well, you know, listen, if you're basing some of your shit from the Bible, then you got to base all your shit on the Bible, like we learned from Shirley Phelps.
Right.
Don't mix your cotton with your polyester.
Well, that's the one thing. It's just this idea that we can pick and choose because we say we are a religious company. And so we choose this specific instance not to have to require to supply contraception to our employees.
Mm-hmm. I'm really disturbed by a lot of those rulings that the Supreme Court is doing with the
citizens. Right.
Citizens United and this recent one. It's like, at what point do people can stand up and say, you know what, you're making the wrong decisions. Right. You need to go.
Right.
Right. Well, I also think too, if we can just kind of change the dynamic of that court and just make it a little more liberal, we'd just be able to advance so much more stuff. We have elections coming up, and they're saying the Republicans could take the House, and they'd have the House and the Senate, and it's just.
And that's why I don't get it. Like, people, they're mad at the wrong things. Mm-hmm. It's like, stop. You know, and the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court. I like the fact that it's there, and it's been working well in the past. Yeah, there's some setbacks, but they usually get it right in the long run. Mm. But I just, this understanding that people are not mad at Congress. I don't understand how people are not just out there putting up independent.
Because the media is trying to put it towards the president, yeah. Because the Republicans know they'll probably never get the presidency again in a very long time.
How are there not people like, hey, guess what? We're putting up an independent candidate for our congressman, our senator, because no one in the Congress is getting anything done.
Detroit. Yeah.
Sorry.
Detroit.
Let's my computer started. You know, I hate this trend in websites is that they all want to deliver video ads.
Yeah.
Regardless. That's where the money is.
But the problem is that, like, a lot of people's computers and web browsers can't handle video after video after video being shoved into the browser, and it's like crashing people's computers, and it's
people horrifying. Meaning you.
Well, anybody who ain't got the latest, you know, Mac Pro. Sorry, I don't have 12 gigabytes of memory in order to receive your ad.
Mm-hmm. That only gets me mad when I go on BuzzFeed and there's like, 30 gifts about Harry Potter, and like it won't load because it's
because you're like, I wanted to see all of them. Did you see J.K. Rowling wrote an article about Harry Potter, but it was from the vantage point of that Skeeter. What's her name? I have it here. The reporter from the TV.
Oh, right.
Rita Skeeter.
Yeah.
So she did an article, a gossip article about Dumbledore's army reuniting at the Quidditch World Cup. And Harry's got some gray hairs. Neville Longbottom is a drunk.
Oh, that's good.
Hermione has bad hair. You know, it's real tacky.
Can't she just disappear now? She's done, right? J.K. Rowling? She's
no, made her Magical money. Beasts is they're doing something with that, making it into a movie or something?
She's doing spinoffs of Harry Potter. You know, there's just too much money to be made.
Mm-hmm. And she's got that castle to pay for.
She has a castle?
And she has a castle in Scotland now that she lives in. She's super loaded. She's richer than the Queen of England now.
Wow. I heard that the Harry Potter amusement park is just murdering right now. Everybody's going.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they're loving it?
Yeah.
Awesome. I met a guy who's just, he just left to go to Tokyo. He's playing in the Harry Potter theme park there.
Nice.
And he's playing he's in a wizard choir or something. I think there's four of them or something. He looks very much from the Harry Potter world.
He's not playing, what is it, the house elf Dobby?
No. He's playing a wizard.
Dobby, Dobby is freeze now, master.
I still haven't seen the last movie. Don't ruin it for me.
What?
I get so slow with movies. I'm so bad.
Oh, wow.
What do you do with your free time besides drink beer?
There's a lot of Degrassi that I need to keep up with. In fact, I'm two episodes behind now.
I've never seen an episode of that.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Comcast, your favorite internet service provider, has a new advertising campaign after being basically chosen as the most hated corporation.
Fair enough.
In the United States over Exxon, Monsanto, Lockheed Martin.
Wow.
They are the most hated company in the world, in America. They have a new ad campaign that says, it's a whole new day at Comcast. And so the ad basically has one of those Philip Seymour Hoffman actors that doesn't have any work anymore and riding in a truck with a Comcast cable installer. And they're like, we have a 4-hour window of installation, whereas other people make you wait all day long. He's like, who am I gonna hate now? My cousin? I was like, guess so. and so it's a whole new day at Comcast. And here's a tip for any corporation that's listening to this or anybody who's in advertising. If you want people to stop thinking you as an evil asshole, stop being an evil asshole.
Then they lose money.
Stop monopolizing. Stop lobbying. Stop overcharging for your services, you assholes.
Fuckers. Die in hell.
Now, Netflix in the UK, and I'm going to leave you guys with this one, is the perfect job for you, Bill and Mark.
Oh, I read about this. I was so pissed when I found out it was only in the UK.
It's looking to turn people who like to binge watch their shows into paying them full time to watch all their TV shows and deconstruct them and tag them.
Because they get so much incoming shows that there's no one to watch them and say, this show would be good for people who like this.
Oh, this. And or this show would be like this.
So there's not enough out there for them to do that.
If it's a murder mystery, yes, I'm all over it.
So if you live in the UK and you're like my husband Mark or Bill Cruz here, who loves to watch stuff on Netflix, this is the perfect job for you.
I'm looking forward to Hemlock Grove coming July 11th.
I don't even know what that is.
I got so mad at Orange is the New Black the second season.
Did you? I was kind of. I missed like the first five episodes because Fausto binge watched.
Oh, Fausto.
And so I didn't.
Well, it was just more of hating the main character. I can't. Oh, really? It. I'm like someone.
People want to see her die. Yeah, like they want to see like a little shiv stuck into her.
She doesn't deserve anything.
The blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the worst.
She was likable. Well, she was likable last season. No, wasn't she?
That last episode, I was hoping Crazy Jesus Girl was going to kill her.
Pensatucky.
Yeah. Well, she's the main character of the series, so they can't kill her off.
I don't. Why not?
And in real life, she leaves jail and does the book, and that's why we have the series. So there's no way she will ever die in jail.
Is she a lesbian now?
She's bisexual, and she was invited by President Obama for this year to the White House.
Wow.
For their LGBT.
And did she
powwow? And she went in there and went up to Michelle Obama and said, you know, you do look a lot like a woman in person. Like Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers got into trouble. I guess she's like
she called her the T word.
All right.
Yeah. And now she's like, I don't, you know, I meant that as a compliment.
Why is anyone surprised what that woman says anymore? That's not a story. Oh, wait, Joan Rivers shocked people? Get out.
How did that happen? Oh, she walked off of the CNN, somebody was interviewing her, and she's just like, you are not the person to interview me. All you're doing is confronting me with this, this, and this. She's like, why don't we talk about what's really happening? And she's like, I'm done with you.
Nice.
And the anchor, Frederica Whitfield, in the beginning of the interview, called Joan Rivers a trailblazer, praising her career achievements.
Of course.
But as soon as she asked her like any kind of question, just bringing up, you know, all of the controversy.
Yeah, like how do you get people to laugh? Sometimes you say controversial things. What's the point of that? And she's so defensive about it. She's like, you know, and she's like, listen, I say outrageous things because sometimes I think it's, you know, important to help heal. And like, I know it's not for everybody, but for a lot of people, they think it's funny and it gets them that moment and gets them over it.
And that is why Joan Rivers will probably never be a guest on this show.
Why? Because we'll ask her.
Because we would ask her those kind of questions that she'd be like, click.
Listen.
Really, it's like, and we've, so, you know, in the last 10 years of doing this show, sometimes we've, you know, gone into fights with celebrity guests and, you know, ended the abruptly the interview a little quickly. And then, you know, people go like, that interview you guys did with him was so good.
You should have him back on.
And I'm like, no thanks.
Oh, the person that stormed out? Yeah, we'll get him right back on.
Yeah.
I want to remind the listeners we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus listener yet, please consider signing up today at feasttofun.com/plus because your contribution to make this show happen is what makes this show happen.
Bill Cruz will be July 22nd here in Chicago at Zany's Queer Comedy 3-year anniversary show with Adam Guarino, Candy Lawrence, Kelsey Huff, Tranica Rex, and we will be in the audience.
That'll be great.
Heckling.
If we get press tickets. I'm not paying.
Bill's putting us on the list.
I might not even show up. I'll just be outside of Boston Market crying.
Boston Market's closed and I'm leaving.
I can't
just
believe
it. Doing a musical tribute parody. I dreamed a dream of days
of roasted chicken. Cheese.
Roasted chicken and slightly
mixed
wilted
vegetables.
Of course, McDonald's is still open across the street. I'll just go there.
Ouch. And people can find Bill on Facebook, Bill Cruz Comedy.
Or you can find me on Twitter at Bill Cruz, which is C-R-U-Z.
So how do I introduce you to my lovely friends who live in L.A.?
Oh, we just do a little Facebook group messenger.
Just and just say
hey
to them,
this is Bill. Hey, Bill.
I want you and Devin Green and Nadia Ginsberg to meet each other and
That'd
stuff.
Be great.
Johnny McGovern is Nadia Ginsberg's roommate. He's been killing it on YouTube.
I've loved not only Hey Bro, I think is. And, yeah. And,
but hey the, Queen or whatever.
Hey
the,
Queen.
The new talk show. Yeah. Hysterical.
It's lovely. It's wonderful. It shows his strengths. You know, it's like the perfect vehicle for him.
I agree.
It's interesting that they it's actually not used to promote Johnny McGovern, but to promote a video production studio that he tapes it out of. Mm-hmm. They have like turnkey services where anybody can set up a talk show there, and for, I guess it's affordable. And so they hired him to sort of do that talk show to illustrate what the possibilities of the studio is. So he's, you know, at least for the time being, Johnny McGovern's going to have a talk show on YouTube.
Getting paid, hey.
Don't be throwing no shade. I just want to get paid. I just want to get.
Paid.
Call me.
Thanks, Bill, for coming on.
Oh, my God.
On.
Thank you guys for having me. Bill and Cruz. No, we'll definitely talk when I'm in LA. Phone. So this won't be the last one, definitely.
No. And you'll come back to Chicago, won't you?
Well, yeah, that's the big trick nobody learns is how to get booked in Chicago. You move, and then you come back once a month, and you're booked everywhere.
Oh, I really? Tried doing that. It didn't work. They're like, Fausto, who?
Yeah, you have like less than 5 minutes of material.
Me?
that's the thing. He does.
You can't say Herzegovina.
Herzegovina. Listen, if I haven't been there, how am I going to know how to say that? Bill, I'm so depressed that you're leaving. I don't want to end the show on a sad note, but I'm crushed on the inside. I love you so much. You have been an extraordinary person to get to know through the last 10 years of this podcast. I've known you for a long time. I know that you really, even though you're like poo-pooing comedy, I know you love this deeply in your heart. And I can't think of anybody that wants to succeed more in this and deserves to succeed than you.
Thank you.
Even though you're a hateful monster.
I am a hateful monster. well, you know, that's the thing. It's weird. It's a new page, and everybody always just said, you know, there's been coming up to me like, Bill, we're going to miss you so much. And I'm just like, no, you have no idea how much I'm going to miss everybody here.
But it's
I've never fallen in love with a city. That's never happened to me.
Are you in love with me?
I'm in love with Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Easy. Put it back.
Well, otherwise,
don't make me choke you.
No, but it's like when you do comedy, it's like you have to, it's either New York or LA. I mean, yeah. Chicago is a great place to get your training, right. To get your roots, have your base. But then,
comedy all away. And yeah. Even after the polar vortex. Wow. It's one of those things where it's one of those things. When I moved from Colorado, I went to LA, I went to New York, I went to Atlanta, trying to just figure out where I wanted to live other than Colorado. Within an hour of being in Chicago, it's one of those things where just like, you know, whales who move back to their pods where they're originally born. It was so weird.
You're like the elephant that's been freed after 50 years of captivity.
I'm the dog who got lost on a plane and like found his way back. And I've never had that experience where it's something about the vibe of the city, people.
That's part of the reason why we stay here. I mean, you know, people say, why don't you go to LA? And for years, our heart was like, we got to get to LA. But it's just like, we look at our life here and we're just like, it's comfortable. It's affordable. I mean, we get amazing talent. I mean, you're just as funny as anybody out in LA. And we get a lot of the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race coming through town or any celebrities. And I just, you know, would we get more in LA? Maybe, maybe not, but we'll see. But
gotta give it a shot.
Gotta give it a shot.
So. Well, let me put it this way. It's like in Chicago, we're the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. In LA, it's like Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
You know, you're a competition with Chelsea Handler for the guest.
Yeah.
So it's like Michael Urie comes on this podcast because he's here, but if he was in LA, he would never do it.
Right.
So, you know, it's a nice position that we were in, and we're listener supported. So,
which is awesome that you can be listener supported.
What I'd love to do is like get an Airbnb or like a cheap place to rent for like the month of like January or February.
Right.
Live out in LA for those 2 months.
Kickstarter cooking with drag queens.
LA edition.
So yeah, I can't wait to get an eating disorder. I can't wait to get some Botox done.
Will you dress up in drag?
LA for eating disorders?
Yeah.
Will you dress up in drag and do cooking with drag queens with us?
Oh, God. Well, if I get famous enough and I'm through town.
You'd have to shave the goatee.
That's why.
I'm not having no Conchita Wurst bitches up on this. No.
Are you kidding? The Conchita Wurst would be fabulous.
Oh, of course.
Only Conchita Wurst, not you.
We'd have to make turkey. I'd make my turkey.
Bravo. What would you do?
I'd brine a turkey.
That's boring.
I know. That's the only thing I know how to make.
We'll make paninis.
I had your turkey. It was very good.
It's excellent.
Did you brine that?
I brine it. I brine all my turkey.
The secret to cooking a good turkey, though,
is to shove your dick in it.
After you brine it, is to cook the breast separately from the legs. Because the legs,
you
want to cook those longer so it makes it more tender and more meaty. And then an hour, because the breast by itself only takes like an hour and a half maybe or something, depending on how big it is to cook. And so you put that in towards the end, and then people are just like, wow, the dark meat's delicious, the white meat's delicious, because otherwise you have like dark meat that's tough, and or you have white meat that's
dry. I cook it as a whole bird, and it comes out great every time.
No, that's not true.
That is true. I have 100 starving comedians that'll tell you different.
100 broke starving comedians.
I feed my turkey to homeless Christmas, people, man. And they love it. James Fritz adores my turkey.
Adores it.
So you've heard of Cooking with Cum, right?
No.
It was a popular blog that actually had real recipes.
Really?
With sperm. And one of the recipes was a Thanksgiving turkey, where a gangbang turkey, where people fucked the turkey and came inside it and then stuck it in the oven.
That's awful.
It's horrifying. They shut down their blog and created a cookbook that sold out.
Oh my God.
It was a bestseller. Mm. And then there's, what is it, potato salad on Kickstarter.
My favorite cookbook is, though, we got it from somebody here in Chicago, and it was titled Get in the Kitchen, Bitch. And it was basically as if Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad. Some other meth addict had put out a book.
That's
awesome. And it was a cookbook. It was terrible. And he like kept bugging us. I'm just like, there's nothing I can do with this.
Yeah.
You know?
It was hysterical. We should have done the show with him. Bitch!
Yeah.
But back then, the bitch wasn't savvy enough.
Right.
It wasn't edgy.
Except nothing says savvy. It's the Feast of Fun podcast.
Come in the kitchen, bitch.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Show's over.
Show's over.
Get out.
Best of luck.
No, thank you guys. I'm going to miss you guys a lot. Yeah, and we'll be in touch. And
I adore you.
It's the modern
age.
You. Nothing's ever goodbye.
I can't wait till you get so famous that you don't return our calls.
Right.
Like Cameron Esposito.
It'll be where I just block you on Google Glass or something.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.